All righty, rocking and rolling. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Huge game this weekend in college football between Penn State and Ohio State, two top 10 teams inside the Big Ten. And now joining us is the former Penn State quarterback in Christian Hackenberg. Christian, always great to have you on. How you been, my main man?
Yeah, Zach, appreciate you. Appreciate the invite again. And, hanging in there, doing good. Excited about this weekend as well. So
where's the confidence level with this Penn State team? We know they're a good team. Franklin struggled ever since getting to Penn State, defeating those top 10 teams, being 3-15. The confidence level of Christian Hackenberg as Penn State goes to Ohio State this weekend is what?
I feel it's extremely high, and mainly due to the depth in this roster. And it took a little bit of time for Coach Franklin to dig it out from the post-sanction era where we had the limitations and stuff like that. But, when you look at it on paper, I don't think Ohio State really has the advantage that they've had in the past. And that's a great thing because ultimately, these games come down to the Jimmys and Joes. So for him, I think he has a lot less to focus on outside of just coaching the game. So I'm really excited to see his approach and the offensive staff's approach in particular. I think the defense knows who they are and what they want to be, but going to be really excited to see what tricks they are going to pull out of that bag there.
It's fascinating to me because I do believe that a lot more people will say the pressure's on Penn State because they're trying to show that they're a national championship contending team. But you look at Ohio State, there's vulnerabilities with this team, and their best win of the season was Notre Dame. And quite frankly, I thought Notre Dame was the better team. They just couldn't catch an interception at the end and get 11 guys on the field.
Yeah, no, I see that point. And for me, though, just being a Penn State homer and for the aforementioned record against, top 10 opponents for Coach Franklin, I would argue that outside of just Penn State, I think for Coach Franklin, this is arguably the biggest game of his career. I know he's won a Big Ten championship. I know he's got over the hump. But just in terms of his plan and developing the roster, developing the depth and creating an identity, he's there now. So for him, he's got to show that he can go out there and wrestle with the big dogs on a consistent basis. So, I do see Ohio State's side of it. But realistically speaking, I think for Penn State, it's about getting over that hump and not only doing it once or twice or by a luck of a block field goal or something like that, or not luck, but by fortune of a block field goal. But because you go out there and you outplay him.
Is the Penn State fan confident with Franklin?
I would say so. And like I said, I just think people undervalue how difficult it was to dig out of those sanctions that were levied on the program just from a roster development standpoint. I obviously had to deal with that as a player when I was up there and the rest of the guys on the team. And it takes time. And especially now in today's world with the transfer portal and stuff like that, you can make those things happen faster, but Coach Franklin really had to do it prior to that. And now, you're seeing it come to fruition. So ultimately I think the Penn State fans are confident because he's been able to do that and he's gotten over the humps. But now I think less about the fan base and more about the administration, Pat Kraft coming in there and stuff like that. That's who he's really got to continue to impress. And, again, like I said, the sanctions are 10 years and he's there. So it's showtime for him. And I'm excited. I think he's mentally ready. I think he's grown a lot as a coach and as an orchestrator of the program and an overseer of the program. But, I think that's really what he needs to continue to work towards is showing for the administration.
Talking to Christian Hackenberg right now, there was a lot of hype with Drew Aller at times last year. A lot of Penn State fans wanted to see him over Sean Clifford, and Sean did a good job last year, and that team did win the Rose Bowl. But now with what you've seen so far out of Drew being the guy, being the starting quarterback, kind of give me your view on the new Penn State quarterback.
Yeah, I think they've done a really good job with him, and I've talked about this. Everyone wants to see the flair and the big shots and all the talent that he has, but there is a mastery in his ability to facilitate in that 25 to like low short yardage completion plays. He's very, very efficient. And then just from a decision-making standpoint, you don't see him really holding onto the ball too long. A guy who hasn't played much ball and is relatively young from an age standpoint, that's something that pro guys struggle with. And he's done it really well. And I think it's a lot easier to teach someone how to start seeing the opportunities and the shots down the field and stuff like that, as opposed to trying to pull back the reins and say, hey, man, like, start thinking about being efficient, take the checkdowns. So really he's starting from a good spot there. And, you know, I've just been super impressed with that. And I think the other stuff will come. And I think he's done a good job. Sean's a hard guy to follow up. He's been up there for, you know, 7 years or whatever the heck it was, a lot of consistency. And I think for him, you know, got a great running game. He doesn't have to go out there and win it himself until this weekend. I really do think it's going to come down to two or three plays by either him or McCord is who's going to decide this game. So I'm excited for him for that opportunity, but really impressed with his development and how he's continued to just grow and learn and, you know, low key, how he talks to the media, just the whole package.
The ceiling for Kyle McCord, the Ohio State quarterback, as we're talking to Christian Hackenberg right now, is what?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think he's a really, really good player. I mean, from a fundamental standpoint, a technique standpoint, I really like some things that he does. And I think for Ohio State, it's strange when you don't have the overall explosiveness that they're so used to. And I think it's very easy to point the finger at the quarterback. But I think there's a lot of things that factor into that. You know, they've been banged up. The running game's not as strong. The offensive line's, I don't think, as strong as it used to be, as it traditionally has been. So he's stepping into a different situation than his predecessors, but I do really like the kid's game. Ceiling wise, you know, I don't know. It's the position is so dependent. I've said this to you before, and I think a lot of other folks, it's so dependent on what's around you. Yeah. But he does have a good base, and I think Ryan Day is doing a good job of figuring out what he does well, and that takes time as well. So
Christian Hackenberg here with us. So we've seen Michigan, right, own Ohio State the last 2 years, and the way they did that was kind of bully ball, beat the snot out of you inside the trenches, hit on those big plays. We know how good Penn State's offensive line can be. We know that Penn State has explosive big play ability, but they got to be more consistent with it. Going into this game, do you kind of feel as if Penn State and Michigan in terms of style are similar, and that gives an advantage to Penn State going up against Ohio State?
Yeah, I mean, I've said that in the past. I think this Penn State team mirrors a lot more of that, like, old school physical football, not just Michigan, but I mean, they control, they possess the football. They don't turn it over, and they run the ball at an efficient clip. Now, the explosive and all that stuff, like I said, I think that stuff can come, and they have the roster and the athletes to be able to get those, and it'll start happening. But yeah, I think defensively they built their defensive roster and personnel to be able to run sideline to sideline with those other teams that are getting athletes. And I think that they've shored up some things on the inside. So overall matchup wise, like, yes, I think Penn State has done a great job of grasping that old school mentality of, we're going to impose our will. And then we're also going to augment that with athletes that, when you get them the ball in space, can make stuff happen. So, you know, I'm really curious to see how it shakes out against a top 10 opponent, top five opponent. Cause we haven't seen that yet, but, at least this year. So it is intriguing, and it is kind of funny, the study on how those three programs in particular have developed over really the last 4 or 5 years.
Wrapping up with Christian Hackenberg. So Michigan in the news today. We know before the season there was the recruiting problems with Jim Harbaugh, the self-imposed 3-game suspension. I thought going into this season, this would be his final year at Michigan. He'd just say, bleep all this nonsense, I'm going back to the NFL. Now there's sign-stealing allegations, and they're sending people to go scout other opponents. Like, I kind of roll my eyes at a lot of this stuff, but the rules are what the rules are. Do you feel as if this will be it for Harbaugh at Michigan? He'll just say, I'm not dealing with the NCAA, and go back to the pros.
It'll be really interesting. You know, I also think Jim's had so much success, and it's one of those things where if I was in his shoes at my alma mater, you know, see, especially with the team they have this year, like, see how it plays out. If you do what you need to do and you get over the hump, no better way to say sayonara, just ride off in the sunset than at your home place. But if he's still got the fire, which I would assume he probably still does, and depending on how it all shakes out, I don't see that being something that I would not expect if the right opportunity presented itself. But I don't think he's just going to jump ship haphazardly because of this. I think he can continue to deal with it. And I think he really wants to, if he does make that move, be a competitor, and at least an immediate competitor for championship Super Bowl type of teams and organizations. So I know that's tough to find, but they do arise. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I'm not sold that it's Michigan. I don't think he's going to be the guy at Michigan for in 5 years. I'll put it at that. Like, I think the sun is setting on that chapter.
So we've talked about Dabo Swinney before via text message, and I voiced my frustration with Dabo Swinney to you about 2-3 weeks ago with the arrogance and the name, image, and likeness comments and not embracing the transfer portal. The other day, and I'm sure you've seen the comments, he's like going after the fans where everyone was on the bandwagon a few years ago, and now maybe we should lose more games and people would jump off the bandwagon. Just what an arrogant SOB this guy is. It's like you love when people are praising you when you're winning, but because you built a great standard and people are finally starting to hold you accountable to that standard, now you're just whining and just being absolutely ridiculous for Dabo Swinney.
It's strange, and I did see your rant on that as well. So you put two Hall of Fame caliber rants together on Dabo. But it is just strange to me that's the approach that he would take. It's just his background. He Saban coaching tree. Like, I think it should just be the standard. And, it's a fall of a dynasty down there, in my opinion. It was funny. I was telling my little brother, he's like, we were so used to just leave. He played baseball down there. He's like, we would leave at halftime. And now it's like, they're in dogfights, but they still have the same type of talent, same type of recruiting classes. So I just think, there's some deep soul searching that goes on, but I really do think that ship has also passed down there in Clemson.
So everyone talks so positively about Caleb Williams, and deservedly so, with what he does on a football field. A lot of people know how good Drake May is, but do you think there's a chance that maybe Drake May usurps Caleb Williams and we actually see Drake May be the number one overall pick?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's going to be really tough just because of the media pressure. I think you saw a little bit of that even this past year with CJ and Bryce Young. I said it before. I think when you're talking about those types of players, it's 1A, 1B, 1C. And really what it comes down to is fit culturally in the locker room, in the city. Like, when you draft someone there, that person is supposed to be the face of that program for the next 10 to 15 years or organization for the next 10 to 15 years. So with those two players in particular, I think slightly different body types, things of that nature, but games are pretty similar when it comes to throwing the football. They're both facilitators. They both push it down the field. They both create with their legs. And I think ultimately it's going to come down to fit, but Caleb just has so much juice behind him. And honestly, I from a Heisman standpoint, like best player on the team, MVP, like I think the Notre Dame game, the loss, is actually a more glaring point as to why and how valuable Caleb Williams is to USC. If he does not play well, that is a subpar football team. When he's playing well, they can go out and compete with anybody. So I think that's really intriguing. And I think a testament to his talents, but, I think the better situation would be Drake just playing that second fiddle, seeing what happens, read and react. He might land in a better situation for
it. So Alabama, Tennessee this weekend, Alabama already has one loss. I think a second loss will eventually come at some point this year, and they won't be in the college football playoff, but they only have one loss right now. They're starting to get some more wins. People are like, it is Alabama. Are you buying back in on the Crimson Tide, or did they show their true colors earlier this season?
No, I think that they're at a loss just due to the fact that their identity for the past 5 years has been kind of stripped from them. I think Milroe presents some issues from a defensive standpoint, but I don't think it's what everyone's used to. And they are also very correctable. He turns it over, he makes some mistakes. So, I just think that they're so heavily dependent on defense and kind of controlling the clock and running the football. And I don't think their offensive line is as dominant as it has been as well. So I do think Alabama is very vulnerable, and the whole SEC is kind of just a wild west. Even Georgia, I think Georgia's,
especially with the Brock Bowers injury now too.
Yeah. It's just the SEC is going to be extremely, extremely cutthroat. And I don't think the days of the reigns of Alabama and someone just upsetting them, and then no one's worried about it, or Georgia the same way, one loss and they go into the SEC championship game and go to the college football playoffs and roll again. I think those days are over, especially in that conference. But I do think Alabama is extremely vulnerable.
Last thing I'll ask you, need an official prediction. Christian Hackenberg, the former Penn State quarterback, Penn State, Ohio State this weekend. What's the score going to be?
Ooh, I do think it's going to be a tight one. I do think the defenses are going to come up. I got the Nittany Lions winning somewhere in the range of like 28, 24, 27 to 31, something like that. It's going to be a dogfight. It's going to come down to three or four plays by the guy pulling the trigger on either side, who can make them and who can't.
What was the toughest environment you've ever had to play in, by the way? Because you know that crowd, and the Penn State fan always travels, but that's going to be a crazy Ohio State crowd this weekend.
No, it's crazy. And it was funny. I was talking to Joshua Perry earlier this week about it, and the shoe at noon is way different than the shoe at night. The shoe at night is extremely tough. I did that twice. It's nuts. But he said, you know, the noon games in Columbus are always tough for the fans to get up for. So hopefully that plays in the
spoiled
in the guys
fan base. What a bunch of losers. You can't get up for a noon game. Come on.
Unbelievable. But the shoe's tough. Wisconsin's unbelievable too. If you're up, that's a great environment. The shoe is definitely tough. Those guys, they do like to get after the boys in blue and white too. So that's always fun. The banter back and forth with the fans.
Christian Hackenberg, always appreciate the time. Thanks so much for doing this.
Zach, appreciate you, brother.